So we're going to embark on a multi-week series that talks about the idea of faith. And we're specifically looking at the book of Hebrews, specifically at the chapter number 11. Sometimes it's called the Great Faith Chapter. Talks about heroes of faith, talks about the hall of fame of those who are faithful. And it's been recognized. People know it. People love to read these stories about these individuals. But why are we talking about faith? Why is this a necessary topic that we should wrestle with and think about? Well, simply because we live by faith. We live by faith every single day. We live by faith in a lot of different ways. You had faith that you would get here safely. You had faith that your seatbelt would hold you in the car. We had faith that the refreshments weren't poisoned. You know, all these different things about faith that you just don't think about. You just think, oh, this is how I do life. But in some way, shape, or form, they deal with faith. And so how you think about faith determines how you will respond in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty, when you're challenged, when there's actual pain and suffering in your life. It's those sorts of times when you think about your faith in God in an extreme way. We all want to avoid times that are painful and difficult, yet they are inevitable. They will come. You cannot avoid them. And so because we experience those sorts of times, when they come, how are we to think? How are we to feel? How are we to understand the situation? How are we to understand how God wants to work? And how do we understand ourselves? And that's where faith comes in. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to back up a little bit and talk about the book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews will give us an idea of how to understand Hebrews chapter 11 a little bit more. The theme of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is just simply the idea of the supremacy of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is better than anything or anyone, any other religion, any means of life, any job that you have, any degree that you have, any school that you go to, any grade that you get. Jesus is greater than all those things. The author continually makes mention of the superiority of Jesus in his life, in his words, in his actions, in his attitudes. Jesus is better than, Jesus is greater than, Jesus is superior to, Jesus is more than. You'll see these phrases multiple times throughout the book of Hebrews. And so Hebrews lays out this foundational truth that we have in Christ, about Christ. And so it tells us what we have in Jesus. So let me throw out some examples here from that. So in Jesus, Jesus perfects us for all time by a single offering, that's himself. He gives us a clean conscience by his own blood. He intercedes for us day after day in heaven. He remembers our sins no more. And he promises never to leave us or forsake us, and more and more and more. And this is just pounded into us through the book of Hebrews. Great ideas, great truths that we can stand on and walk with. Perhaps nowhere in the New Testament does the Old Testament come into focus more than in the book of Hebrews. So the writer of Hebrews, and we actually don't know who the author is of the book of Hebrews, constantly compares the inadequacies, if I can use that word, of the Old Testament as compared to the perfection and completion that we have in Jesus Christ. So when I use the word inadequacies, I don't mean the untruthfulness or deficiencies of it. For example, what the book of Hebrews does, it says, hey, in the Old Testament, it was required to have continual sacrifices offered by a human priest. But Hebrews tells us that we in the New Testament are provided once and for all through a single sacrifice through Jesus Christ. It's complete. It's over. It doesn't need to be done over and over again. In the Old Testament, it was only the high priest had access to the presence of God. Only the high priest went into the inner room of the tabernacle. But in the New Testament, we have direct access through God through Jesus Christ. And so it's this comparison that the author of Hebrews is constantly giving us. that this is the old way, this is the new way that we have in Christ. Jesus is so much better, so much more than, so much superior than the old ways. And so the book of Hebrews, if you read it and you try to like wrestle with it a little bit, it gives us plenty of encouragement for those who are believers. There are five warnings, though, and these five warnings are these. The first one is neglect. Five warnings, please. Next slide, please. Neglect, which is, he tells us, hey, be careful about drifting away from God. The second warning, the second danger is unbelief. Basically means when you start doubting God. Next danger is the danger of spiritual immaturity, and the danger of failing to endure, and the danger of refusing God or turning away from God or walking away from God. So if you look at the chapter divisions here, chapter 11 falls between failing to endure and refusing God. And so chapter 11 is about faith. If you fail to endure because your faith is being stretched or questioned, if you don't really understand how God works through the idea of faith, what's going to happen is you will be tempted to refuse God and turn away and walk away from God. So Hebrews 11 gives us encouraging examples of faith heroes, those who persevered in spite of their trials and temptations and sufferings and challenges. And these examples provide us an overwhelming picture of the unconditional guarantee and reliability of God. So to understand specifically what Hebrews chapter 11 has to do with your life, we sort of put it in context, okay? So many Christians in that period to whom the book was written to were undergoing severe persecution. They were getting their property taken away. They were getting thrown in prison. They were getting beaten. And the author wants to remind them, hey, this is nothing new to you, right? Stand firm. And so he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, he says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. Incredible torture, incredible persecution. He goes on to say in verse 34, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were things better waiting. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Verse 35, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all he has promised. So God wanted to form and shape them, help them to think that they should be a certain type of people, that they should be molded and transformed into a certain type of people. And he wants the same thing for us. When we go through trials, when we go through suffering, when we have a difficult time, when we don't understand, when we doubt, he wants to shape us into a certain kind of people, a people who will risk property and life in order to bring the gospel to people who don't know it. He wants us to be people who do not look for comforts and ease and security as necessary things for this life. He wants us to be people who are free from the American dream of safety and wealth and leisure. He wants us to be people who know the only thing that counts in the end, the only real thing that counts in the end, is what's done in the name of Jesus Christ for the eternal goodness and security for others. He wants us to be that type of people. So he encourages us with the book of Hebrews. Let me read again, Hebrews 10, verse 34. You suffered along with those who were thrown in jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. And get this sentence, you knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. That's an incredible sentence. That single sentence drives home the point of what faith is all about. You knew there were better things waiting for you, things that will last forever. You see, if you don't live by that singular truth, if you don't believe it, if you don't grasp hold of it, you will continually think about how much you are losing out every time you have to make a sacrifice for another person. If you don't believe that truth, you don't live by it, You'll think about all the time how you're losing out when your own health fails, when your property is damaged or taken from you or stolen. You'll think about how much you're losing every time others around you are seemingly enjoying their life, their marriage, their children, their vacations, and you're out. If you don't understand that one sentence, God is telling us that there are better things waiting for us, things that will last forever, will last longer than your stuff, last longer than your health, last longer than your momentary times of entertainment and pleasures, will last longer than your physical bodies. And if this life, the life that we live here on earth, if this life is preparation for eternity in heaven, then remember, better things are waiting for you. You will possibly risk your life, your property, your things, your ambitions. But living by faith is not risk-taking. God doesn't think that way. God doesn't tell you, hey, you know, take a risk for me. He never says that. What he says is, have faith in me. And so if I a big idea that I want you to think about throughout this day and this whole series, it would be this one sentence. Slide, please. Faith is knowing there are better things waiting for you. Faith is knowing there are better things waiting for you. When you think about faith this way, it takes your eyes off of that event, that time that you're dealing with, that pain, that suffering, and it puts your mind, it puts your heart on the better things that are waiting for you. So Hebrews tells us, and tells us to remember that Jesus is better. Jesus is more. Jesus is superior. And so what else can the author say to encourage us to live by faith? In chapter 11 is that answer. Right, again, it's these examples of these individuals who live by faith. When all seemed hopeless, when all seemed taken away, when all seemed crushing to them, they had faith because they knew that there was more in God and more with God. So chapter 11, as we're going to study it and look through it, is meant to deepen your confidence in God. That you turn away from the temporary pleasures of this world, that you would turn away from the temporary satisfactions from this world and know that there are better things waiting for you. Faith is knowing that there are better things waiting for you. Let me try to illustrate it this way. No illustration is perfect, okay? I ordered something online a few days ago, and when I ordered it, the company said they would FedEx it to me, priority. I said, what does that mean, priority? She said, oh, next day. So this is a Wednesday morning. So FedEx is a great company. I love FedEx. I love them more than UPS, or the United States Postal Service. So when you order something and it's delivered, they give you what's called a tracking number, right? So if you order anything off Amazon or somewhere, they'll give you a tracking number, and this tracking number goes to the delivery company, and you can look up that number, and you can see where your package is, right? So this is Wednesday morning. She said it'll be delivered to you next day, Thursday. And so this is the first notice I got. Slide, please. And so Wednesday, you have to read from bottom up at 3:02 p.m., FedEx was notified, hey, there's a shipment waiting for you, my shipment, my package. At 4:51, it was picked up by FedEx from the company I ordered from. And then at 10:57, Memphis, Tennessee time, it arrived at another FedEx location. So it went from Ohio to Tennessee in that time period. So I'm tracking this, right? I'm thinking, this is awesome, right? Because I can see exactly where it is. They're delivering it. It's moving across the country. Next slide, please. So Thursday morning at 3 o'clock a.m., it leaves Memphis, Tennessee, arrives in San Francisco, California at 4:58 a.m. our time, right? It's at a FedEx facility. A few hours later, 8:06 a.m., it arrives at a FedEx facility, and then it starts its delivery at 8:38 a.m. It's on a truck for delivery. Now, most of you have done this. If you're just waiting, you can't wait to get this package. You're always looking at the notifications and the tracking to see where this packages. And so I'm thinking, hey, I ordered it Wednesday. They said it'd be delivered the next day. It's Thursday. I'm thinking everything's copacetic. Everything's good, right? And so a few hours later, I look it up again, and I get this message. Slide, please. At 12:21, it said, delivery exception, customer not available, or business closed. Now, you have to understand, I delivered it to church, right? Because I don't want stuff, people stealing stuff from my home. But I deliver all my stuff to church. I'm thinking, 12:21? How come no one's at church on a Thursday? Well, you know, people go to lunch, they're going to the bathroom, they don't answer the door. Oh, no. What happened? So I didn't get my package when it should have been delivered. So and so the more detail said, hey, it's, you know, we put a yellow sticker on your door, you know, those notifications that said, you know, you can pick it up here, we'll try to deliver it again, and we'll figure out when we're going to deliver it. So I just figured, well, I guess it's going to come Friday, and I should be around Friday to make sure that I'm watching the door. And I look it up a few hours later, and this came up at 4:24 p.m. A few hours later, Thursday, it was delivered. Like, that's awesome. FedEx, like, couldn't deliver it the first time around at 12:21. They went on some other route, and they came back around at 4:24 and delivered my package. That's awesome. I love that. And so, you know, you can think about faith that way. You can think about, you have faith in FedEx, and they're going to always deliver your package, right? Here's where the illustration falls apart, okay? Let's say this is not something you ordered online, but this is your marriage that's falling apart. Or this is sitting in your doctor's office and your doctor's telling you you have cancer or leukemia or lupus. This is you discovering that you just had a miscarriage. This is you discovering that you didn't get into the school that you thought you wanted to get into. This is you trying to share your faith with someone and there's in your face yelling at you. That's what this box is now, okay? So when we think about faith in God, if we think about it in sort of the Americanized, Westernized, oh, everything's going to be okay way, we think, God, you're going to make it all better, right? You're going to deliver the package in a perfect sense. You're going to take away my cancer. You're going to repair my marriage. You're going to heal all my relationships. But that's not how God works. God says, you know what, you're just going to have that. You're just going to carry that around. But you know what? There are better things waiting for you. And that's how we need to think about faith. If you're not careful, you just think that, you know, God, you can fix this, right? Because it's not supposed to be that way. Because you know, you're a good God, and I pray for it, and you're gonna take it away. You're going to take away my pain. You're going to take away my suffering. God doesn't work that way. And faith knows that there are things waiting for you that are better than this. And that's really hard. It's really, really hard. You know, depending on what this box is for you guys, it may cause a lot of pain, anguish, angst, fear, whatever it is. But God says, there are better things waiting for you. We know that God gives us promises. One of those is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So we hope for strength when we do not have it in times of weakness. We hope for peace when we're not experiencing it in moments of conflict. We hope for joy that's beyond our reach in the presence of sorrow. And for these reasons, we need to persevere by faith in a broken and evil world. Whenever someone comes up to you and says, just have faith, don't worry about it, it'll get better, God will fix it, it'll all work out, it'll get healed, they're lying to you. Because no one can know that. No one can promise that. That's just not true. It's a misinterpretation and a false teaching of the idea of faith. It's close to, or it's equivalent to, what's called the prosperity gospel. If you just pray about it hard enough, God will fix it. That's not what biblical faith is. Hebrews 11 tells us what God's people did by faith. Right? Faith is knowing that there are better things waiting for you. So the things that you're going to notice about these people that we're going to talk about in the upcoming weeks is not to take note of, hey, they had this amazing training, they had privileges in life, they had a certain personality that helped them, they had wealth, they had intelligence, they had a certain upbringing. That's not what's important about these people. What's important about these people is their faith. Some people, some authors, some books refer to these examples in chapter 11 as heroes. I do not consider them heroes. They're just simple people. They're simply people like you and me who had faith in God. Do not put them up on a pedestal. Once you put someone up on a pedestal, in your mind you're automatically thinking, oh, they're so great, they're so fantastic, they're superheroes, they're super Christians. And I will never be like them. That's why you don't put them up on a pedestal. That's why you don't call them heroes. They struggled, just like you and I struggle. They questioned and doubted, just like you and I question and doubt. They experienced pain, just like you and I experience pain. So it talks about the faith of Noah, who was ridiculed. He started building a boat in the middle of a dry and barren land. It talks about Joseph, who was hated by his brothers, who was falsely accused, who was imprisoned for years. It talks about Abraham, who God told him to sacrifice his one and only son. Others were tortured, imprisoned. They lived in deserts, caves, and holes, and their faith told them that there were better things waiting for them. These people of faith were worldly nobodies. I mean, if you had to put them on a scale that told their worth to, according to the world, they would be at the very bottom. But they were great in God's sight. Their faith did not earn them praise in the world, and as a matter of fact, most of them were killed for their faith. But because of their faith, Scripture tells us that God was not ashamed to be called their God. That's a great line. What they did receive is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. They were commended for their faith. They were applauded for their faith. They were recognized for their faith. They were remembered for their faith. And I hope that your reputation and my reputation will be remembered that way, that we would be people of great faith, that would be our reputation. What is it then that really matters in your life? Hebrews 11 tells us that what really matters is your faith. Nothing is more important than the feeding and the exercising and the growing of your faith. Living by faith means you know the future is more valuable, is more incredible than whatever's going on in the present. The challenge that comes out of Hebrews chapter 11 is actually found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Where the author writes, therefore, after talking about all these people in chapter 11, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So this is the point of chapter 11, to endure, to persevere, to fight, to run the race with endurance. People say life is a journey. I sort of like that idea, but not really. Because journeys sort of say, well, I'll go where I want to go, where life pushes me, and you sort of meander, you sort of just float, you sort of drift along in life. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying there's a race. There's a definite beginning and a definite end and a specific course that you are supposed to run. So the imperative to remember is to run. Run the race that God has set before us. Who set the race? God did. That everything that happens to you is either directed by God or allowed by God. Run as in a race with a finish line that has everything hanging on it. Run to the finish line. God set your course out. Run it. Don't stroll. Don't meander. Don't drift. Don't wander about aimlessly. So Hebrews 12:1 is a command to look at your life, think hard about what you're doing, get ruthless about what stays and what goes, get rid of every weight that slows you down, every sin that trips you up, because if you do not, you will forget and not remember about the better things that are waiting for you. And so Hebrews 12:2 tells us this, that we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's better than, he's more than, he's superior to. Yes, your present sufferings, your present difficulties are painful, they're real, they're meaningful, but don't lose sight of Jesus. He started it, he initiates it, and he'll finish it, he perfects it. So share about Jesus, pray about Jesus, pray over Jesus, pray, read about Jesus, meditate on Jesus. Because faith is knowing that there are better things waiting for you. That's the idea I want you to carry home with you. Faith is knowing that there are better things waiting for you. Because you don't believe that, if you don't grasp that, if you don't take hold of that, every single thing in your life will cause you, will tempt you to turn away from God. To endure with faith so you don't turn away from God. Let me put Hebrews 10:34-36 up on the screen. And it says this, paraphrase a little bit by me, you know there are better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all he has promised. You know there are better things waiting for you that will last forever. Now, I'm not saying you can't pray for this. I'm not saying you shouldn't cry about and have anguish over what's going on in your life. Absolutely, you should, because God hears that. But God never guarantees he'll take care of this. God never guarantees he'll take the pain away. As a matter of fact, he might crush it even more. And that's where faith comes in. So as you read that, I just want you to think about, hey, maybe some of you, or maybe a lot of you in the room have something like this box that you're struggling with, you're dealing with. Ask God for faith to see beyond that. Some of you whose lives are like hunky-dory, it's going pretty good, you need to ask God, remind me over and over, day by day, that there are better things waiting for me. Because those days will come. And it's going to be painful, it's going to hurt. But remind me of faith, God, that's true, because there are better things waiting for you. Take a moment to meditate, to read that verse again, those couple of verses. Think about it. Pray to God. Take a moment now. Heavenly Father, we just love that promise that you give us, that there are better things waiting for us. But throughout life, we're going to struggle with that idea. Sometimes we're not going to believe it. Sometimes we're going to turn away from that truth. But I pray that you would make us into a people who would just embrace that idea, hold it fast, hold it close, and that when those times come, that we can pray for them. We can pray that you would relieve the pain, that you would take away the anxiety, that you would remove the obstacles, that you would make things right. We can pray for those things, absolutely, God, because you want us to. But always put in our minds that that is not the end of the story, that there are better things waiting for us. Help us to be people who believe that and live that and know that. Thank you for being that kind of God, that throughout the evils and the sins of this world, you give us this faith that goes beyond what we can see, what we can touch, what we can smell. Thank you for those better things. Thank you for giving us the ability to finish the race and run with endurance. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.